Welcome to the 1 John Bible Study Podcast, where we'll dive into the book of 1 John verse by verse to see what truths God is communicating to us. This podcast is brought to you by Brian Androsian from New City Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. For more information about New City, visit newcityrdu.com, or you can follow us on all social media platforms at newcityrdu. Thanks for joining us. Now let's jump into 1 John.
Welcome back to our Bible study through the book of 1 John. Today we're going to be in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Just a recap from last week. Last week we talked about this idea about how love requires action. How if we're to love somebody, we don't just love somebody in word, but we love them in deed. We actually need to do something about it if we're going to show love for somebody. That especially if there's someone who has a need, a tangible, a physical need, it's not enough as believers to just say that we're thinking about them or even just praying for them, but we need to actually take a step and do what we can if we're able to meet that physical need. That love requires action. It's not passive. It's not just an idea, but it actually means doing something. We talked about the idea of laying down your life for someone, and the easiest, most basic way to do that is to meet a need that somebody has. So as we talked about the end of 1 John chapter 3, and today we continue going into chapter 4, verse 1, and he says this. He says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So in this section, John is talking again about false teachers, as we've been doing throughout this entire study. And essentially, he's telling his readers, his followers, to essentially not be gullible. He's saying, not everyone who claims to be from God is from God. Not everyone who claims to teach, who claims to preach God's word is actually doing that, is actually teaching God's word. Not everyone who claims to speak in the name of God is actually doing that, and so he instructs them to test the spirit, so to speak, or to test them to see if they're actually from God. And then he continues in verses 2 and 3 by telling them, how exactly do you do that? How do you test the spirits? He says that in verse 2. He says, "This is how you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, whom you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world." So John gives a very basic test to determine who the false teachers are and who they aren't. Those who teach that Jesus has come in the flesh are from God, and those who don't aren't. It's as simple as that. Those who teach that Jesus is God, that he came in the flesh as God coming to this earth to die for our sins and that was resurrected, those that teach that are teaching from God, and those who teach anything different are not. He doesn't make this super complicated. He makes it pretty simple for us. So keep in mind at this time that these false teachers, they were saying that Jesus wasn't God come in the flesh. That was their main idea. The main difference is that they were claiming that Jesus wasn't God, that he wasn't God come in the flesh. And John is saying that these claims, this is exactly how you'll know who the false teachers are. You know, he's saying as believers, we know that Jesus is God, that Jesus came in the flesh, and that he forgives sins, that he died, and that he rose. And if anyone's preaching anything different than that, well, then that person is a false teacher, because these are truths that we know to be fact. And he continues in verse 4. He says, "You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." So John's now just reassuring the believers that they've already conquered these false teachers, saying there's not more work that needs to be done. They've already been conquered. Those that belong to God already have the one that is greater than the world, than those that are in the world. In this verse, what he's saying, this mirrors a verse in John, in the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33, where he says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world." It's Jesus speaking. So John is recognizing that his readers have essentially already overcome these false teachers. That because they've remained with Jesus, because they've remained with God and have kind of stayed true to what they believed, that these false teachers have already been overcome. That there's not more work to do here. They've already overcome these false teachers. Not because of their own strength, clearly. Not because of anything that they did, but because of God's. Because they've stuck with the one who's able to overcome. Not that they're strong enough on their own, but that God is, and that they've done, that they've stayed with God, that they've stayed and remained in him. That God is the only way to overcome the world. God is the only way to overcome these false teachers, these teachers that show up and deceive. That the only way to overcome is by sticking true to the gospel, sticking true to Jesus, and sticking true to what they already know to be true. Then he continues in verse 5. says they are from the world, therefore what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. So their teachings are shaped by the world, so obviously the world will listen to them. Obviously, if we're not willing to confront sin or have difficult conversations or talk about things that are tougher or that may make some people uncomfortable, then the question to ask is, are we trying to shape the world for Christ? Are we allowing Christ to use us to shape the world, or are we being shaped by the world? They say that they're from the world, and so the world listens. It's because if we're preaching, if we're teaching in a way, if we're believing in a way that just aligns with everything the world believes, then are we really following God? Are we really believing in what he says? Are we really sticking true to him? Or are we just trying to adapt him to what we want, to our preferences, to our likes and dislikes, to the things that make us comfortable? And John finishes this section in verse 6. He says, "We are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception." He's saying, this is how you know the spirit of truth. This is how you know what's true. This is how you know who's trying to deceive you. Those who are from God, those who are teaching what you already know to be true, those who are teaching the gospel are from God, and those who are trying to deceive, those who are trying to teach something different, trying to teach of a different Jesus, or that Jesus was not God, those are the ones who are trying to deceive. So what do we do with this section? What do we do with these six verses? We see all these verses, especially throughout this entire book, of false teachers, but I think we need to think about what that looks like for us today. That obviously this was an issue for them all the way back then, but it's still an issue for us today. So how do we recognize this? How do we recognize false teachers? How do I make sure that that's not something I'm becoming? How do I make sure whether I'm in a position where I teach or preach or not, how do I know as a believer in my own belief and my own thought process as I talk to others, how do I know I'm not becoming a false teacher? How do I kind of steer clear and make sure that I'm not going down that road? And how can I identify those that are? John is making it crystal clear here that Jesus is the most important thing. That Jesus is the most important thing of our belief as followers of Jesus, as Christians, that Jesus is the most important. That believing in his death and resurrection is the mark of a believer, and adding or removing anything from that is a sign of false teaching. So as we do every week, I want to leave us with kind of a challenge question to think about as we wrap up these six verses, and that's this. It's what have I added to Jesus? What have I added to Jesus? And by that, I mean, what in my mind have I added to Jesus to make him fit into my world better? Have I tried to create a Jesus that fits a mold of what I want him to be? Do I look at the teachings of Jesus and kind of put in my own thoughts and kind of make it work into what makes me a little bit more comfortable? When reading the Gospels and reading the teachings of Jesus, do I try and maybe ignore the parts that make me a little uncomfortable or the parts that I have a tougher time with? What have I added to Jesus to make him fit into my mold of what I want God or what I want Jesus to be? Or what have I removed from him? What teachings of his do I try and not focus on because they may be a little bit tougher? Have I added things to him by acting as if the things I do are good enough? Do I try and take Jesus and say, you know, Jesus is great, but also I have to do all these other things and then I become a good enough Christian, so to speak, or then I become good enough for him? When in reality, we know that nothing we do is good enough, so to speak. Nothing we do is enough, but we need Jesus to bridge that gap. Have I tried to make Jesus into something that he's not? This is the sign of a false teacher, taking Jesus and adding the things that I want him that I want him to be, or adding the things that make me comfortable or that are my own preferences, or removing the things that I don't like. This is how we take Jesus, and this is how we become a false teacher with him. This is how we kind of mold him to what we want, and which is not obviously following the true Jesus. And so as we wrap up this section, this is the main idea I want us to walk away with today, and that's this. It's that Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus nothing is everything. Jesus doesn't need anything added or taken away from him. He is sufficient. He is enough on his own. He is the gospel is enough. That Jesus came, he died on the cross for you and for me, and is offered to forgive sin, and all he asks us to do is to confess and believe in him, and then that he does the rest. that Jesus is enough. He doesn't need our he doesn't need us to be good enough. He doesn't need our works. There's not anything we can do that we could get to be on a level that we don't need him. But Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough for our salvation. He's enough for our lives, that we don't need to add anything to him. We don't need to add anything to make it more comfortable. We don't need to add anything to him to kind of fit our own culture or fit our own preferences or fit our own comfortability. But that Jesus on his own, the way he was when he came to this earth and the way he is today, is enough. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And that's what we see in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6.
Thanks again for joining us for this Bible study. New City Church is a non-denominational church in Raleigh, North Carolina. For more information, please visit newcityrdu.com, or you can follow us on all social media platforms at newcityrdu.